Indulge in holiday cravings with the nutrition you need from Ka'Chava's All-in-One Whole Body Shake. It's 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Try their newest flavors, like the limited edition Chocolate Mint. With Ka'Chava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to Ka'Chava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, and use code NEWS for 15% off.
A message from McAfee. Wondering why the post office is texting you, or why you owe thousands of dollars in toll fees? Because someone's trying to scam you. The good news? McAfee can help. With McAfee's award-winning scam detection, it's easy to tell what's real and what's fake, over text, in your inbox, and online. If they're
You want a free gift.
Seriously? If they're faking it, they're not making it past us. Get award-winning scam detection today. McAfee.com/keepitreal.
Pass the ball, work the ball around, yeah. And they just keep working around until it's a lay-in or a monster dunk.
And they don't make a lot of mistakes. The Boilermakers don't make a lot of mistakes, but I like this Keegan Murray for Iowa, averaging 22.8 points a game, and shooting 57.3% from the field. Jeez. I mean, like, you just dream about a player like this, you know, coming from Nebraska. But this kid is very, very good, and I don't know if any – I think Purdue has a better team, but I think this is the best player on the court at all times.
Really?
Yes.
That might be a hot take.
It's a little bit of a hot take, but I was more saying against Purdue, he's the best player.
Okay. Well, I mean, I got two words to kind of counter that.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, I'm taking Purdue all the way in this one, and the two words are Zach Eady.
Yeah.
I mean, the kid's 7'4", a Canuck, a Canadian,
yeah.
Canadian, eh? On the offensive line.
Yeah, yeah. He should play for the Boilermakers football team.
But he's not their leading scorer or rebounder, but he only averages 20 minutes a game, so he just plays in spots.
It's hard to get a guy that big to play more minutes than that. It's likes Rupter for everything.
When he averages 15 points, 8 rebounds a game in that limited time. So, right. Yeah, he disrupts the game.
Yeah.
I think you just bring Zach Eady back into the game and kind of toughen things up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Nation in field goal percentage, shooting over 50%. Shooting fifth in three-point percentage. So, I mean, they're shooting at over 40% from three-point land. So,
Okay,
you want to crash it inside? You want to get multiple bodies on guys like Zach Eady? It doesn't matter. They got the shooters that can complement those guys around the perimeter.
Yeah.
And they're sitting at seventh in the nation as a scoring offense.
Wow.
Total scoring offense. Yeah. So, I mean, it is tough for me too, being a Nebraska fan, you know, and be jealous of Iowa or whatever. But I am in how well that they can kind of figure out how to beat you.
Yeah.
I just don't think they got the firepower to beat Purdue, even if it is at home.
The only thing that I'm trying to get at is this: Keegan Murray is the third leading scorer in NCAA right now.
Keegan Murray, you're gonna kill me with this.
This guy is so good. He puts the ball in the basket. I do think Purdue is a better team, but if it's a 5-point line, I'm riding with the Hawkeyes to the bank.
To the bank, cha-ching. Right on. Well, this game is on BTN, 8:00. I do think it will be a competitive game, and so you're expecting kind of a tight line there, which don't think it would. You know, I just don't see that happening at all. I gotta go. Boilermakers. Their offense is just too good. They don't play terrible defense.
Nope.
You know, obviously you don't rack up 16 wins.
like you said, with those big boys in the middle, they are limiting to the rack points for sure.
The one thing, though, is, you know, they're 16-3, but all three losses are conference losses.
Yeah.
You know, so they're kind of sitting in the middle of the pack,
mm-hmm.
you know, tied with Rutgers at 5-3 in conference play.
Right.
That's unbelievable.
It is.
You know, they're the highest ranked team by far nationally, and for good reason, I believe. But to your point, the Big Ten can rough you up a little
bit. Big Ten knows how to play each other, except for Nebraska, obviously.
We don't need to go back over.
That's my bad.
Back over.
Sorry, Skurs.
It is just amazing. You know, we talked about the Huskers and, you know, how they're sitting at 277th in the nation in rebounding, 321st in the nation in 3-point shooting.
Ouch.
Flip that over to Purdue. They're sitting fourth in the nation in 3-point shooting percentage.
Wow.
and they're nineteenth in rebounding.
Wow.
So just,
yeah.
I mean, you want to talk about a recipe for success? Well, we rebound extremely well.
Yeah.
And we shoot the ball even better.
That's a recipe for winning a lot of basketball.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, I just feel like I'm just compounding reasons why it's gonna be really tough to talk me out of.
It is. That. It is. If the spread gets to 5 or 6, I got to love the Hawkeyes. But everything that you just said is making me feel a little bit worried about this bet. We'll see.
The Hawkeyes, they play with heart.
Plus, yeah. I hate the Hawkeyes. So yeah. you might be able to turn me by Thursday.
Purdue plays with the 7'4", 300-pound center okay. from Canada.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Drinking a little Bat Blue there, you.
Yeah.
A.
I don't – Does Carver Arena, do they serve beer there? I mean, I feel like Pinnacle Bank's kind of missing the boat here.
Oh, they're definitely missing the boat. I know I went to Iowa City for a football game a couple years ago, and they were selling beer there. So
at the football game?
Yes. Along with the Golden Gophers do it as well.
Well, I know that I've been to a couple Gopher games. You know, that's kind of a fun place to go for Husker games.
Yeah,
and all
yeah.
that. Just a neat stadium, downtown area.
For sure.
But that's also a – I don't know. It feels like everyone's serving beer.
Exactly.
Or whatever.
Exactly. Well, and everywhere's not Nebraska. In Minnesota, I don't think they have the fan following in football as much as we do. Kind of entices people to come to their stadium and stuff.
Right.
We haven't had that problem yet of drawing fans or whatever. But I believe with the baseball and basketball in Nebraska, I believe they have missed the boat, and it needs to happen here soon.
I would have to agree. We kind of got off track there, but
yeah.
We're up against it here real quick. So you're gonna take Iowa if the line stays under 5.
Under 5, I'm taking Iowa.
All right. Well, we're going to get back at it with some NFL talk. Huge games here. It's going to decide our Super Bowl matchup.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we're going to have to look back on some of those games, too, because they're just so good.
Best weekend of football ever.
All right, don't go anywhere, folks. This is WTL. Where's the line? And welcome back, everybody, to WTL. Jabron, we talked some Big Ten basketball.
Yes, sir.
That was fun, but the NFL season's at a fever pitch right now.
Oh, yeah, man.
A couple of huge games. Real quick, let's talk about the week that was.
Yeah.
L.A., I thought they played phenomenal at home. You saw some grit.
Yeah.
You saw them grind out a victory. I mean, and the Stars came.
The Stars showed out, man.
Oh,
the Stars showed out.
Cooper Kupp was on my fantasy team.
Mine, too.
And
mine
he about blew the game with that.
Fumble.
Like, his second fumble of the year?
Yeah, he doesn't do that.
But, I mean, in the first half, he had, 4 catches, over 100 yards and a touchdown, and then he had the biggest play of the game, maybe.
Yeah, it ended with 180 yards receiving and a touchdown.
Just insane.
That's a gamer. Stafford looked really poised for, not having a lot of playoff experience
right.
with the Lions. I think everybody had the suspicion when L.A. got up. Big that Tom Brady, he's the GOAT. He's not going away.
Just waiting for it.
He's just waiting for his chance, and it happened. But, yeah, like you said, the Rams really showed some grit there because they could have just flopped.
Oh, easy.
With one of their 4 fumbles, they could have just, we give up. But, no, they kept fighting.
Shout out to old Husker defense. Ndamukong Suh with the strip. Levante David with the recovery.
Throw the bones, guys. Throw the bones.
Can't help it.
No, like you said, it showed a lot of grit for the Rams, but I believe that the grit's about to run out because they're going up against a very gritty team in the San Francisco 49ers.
But they're not going anywhere. They're playing at home. It's at SoFi, and they have a chance to actually host the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, but you're saying that's a home game for the 49ers?
No, it's not.
Some reason, every time I watch an L.A. game, the other team has more fans there for some reason.
Does San Francisco, where do they play? Candlestick Park? Like, where are they even at?
They got a new stadium in Santa Clara. They're not even from San Francisco anymore.
Is that even a town? Like, what? Get out of here.
But like you're saying, it would be just a storybook ending, for the Los Angeles Rams to be able to host a Super Bowl in their backyard. with that new stadium and everything, it would be very cool.
Okay, before we get too far down the path of this, the upcoming matchup, let's talk a little bit about San Francisco and what they did on the road. Green Bay, that was unbelievable. I mean,
great game.
Cold as all get out. I think it was like 11 degrees.
Yep.
And snow started to fall. The field started to turn white there. I mean, it was just everything you would expect or think of as far as Lambeau at home.
In the playoffs.
In the playoffs.
Yeah.
And it was great theater. I just can't believe that. I mean, how did Green Bay lose? How did they only score one touchdown? Blows my mind, especially if you just watch that opening drive and then turned off the TV or
you
did
would
something.
Think, yep.
I was thinking blowout.
I think everybody had that niche that, Aaron Rodgers got this. This is Aaron Rodgers' league. He could be the MVP.
Go back home.
he's playing at home in Lambeau. But people forget about one little thing. There's a two word here that everybody forgets about in football, and it's called special teams.
Oh, that's a third of the game?
Yeah, a third facet of the game that people, I guess, forget about.
Right.
They had a block punt, a blocked field goal, and on that last field goal that Robbie Gould hit to win, Packers only had 10 players on the field. Yeah. You ain't going to block it with 10 people. Sorry, guys.
That's a screw up that you didn't even notice in real time until
you saw
a couple of replays and figured that out. That, oh my God, they only had 10 guys out there.
Yeah. I think somebody might be looking for a job. I really do. And I hate to throw all the blame on this guy. But again, if we're really getting into, why they lost this game, you just said it. They scored on the first possession and then never scored again.
Right. And, you see that a lot, especially in the NFL and the higher levels of football and the coaches you have. That opening drive, a lot of times the offense will get, a really good drive.
Yep.
They'll hit that defense in the mouth. They'll score a field goal or even a touchdown.
Yeah.
But then those good defensive coaching staffs, and you need great players too, and San Francisco has that.
They got the defense.
But those coaches make those adjustments.
They
take away – what Aaron Rodgers did that first drive.
Yep.
And a lot of it was Dylan, the running back, and they didn't
play him again.
Yeah, like what was going
they
on?
They didn't
there?
Play him again.
I think you got to give a lot of credit to San Francisco
no
versus,
doubt about it.
Green Bay, even though, that really does just leave you scratching your head how bad their special teams were. I think it was the first time in NFL playoff history.
Yeah.
And we're going back in the old NFL, when there's only like 16 teams or 18 teams
back,
or whatever.
Back in the day.
Never a field goal blocked and a punt blocked in the
same game.
And, that's all. Even with the poor game that Aaron Rodgers had, lackluster game, however you want to frame that.
Yeah.
And I'm a Bears fan, so I don't care. I don't care. Aaron Rodgers, you're great. You own us.
Yeah, you own it. He owns the Chicago Bears.
You bleeping own us. I get it. And as a Bears fan, you can't argue him, okay? Good for you. But even with that, how can your special teams be that bad at a professional level?
Yeah, no, agreed. And, it was really detrimental to him. It was really funny that you said that, Andy, that he owns the Chicago Bears, because I know of one team that owns Aaron Rodgers.
Oh,
he is 0-4 against a certain team called the San Francisco 49ers in the playoffs.
Yeah.
0-4. So you might be owned yourself, Mr. MVP.
And I'm not a 49ers fan either.
We hate the 49ers.
Those freaking guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
But can we just finally give some credit where credit's due?
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of the red, and it's been this entire season. Oh, the 49ers are a tough matchup. Ooh, going against Dallas. That's a tough matchup for Dallas.
Yeah.
Maybe San Francisco is a good team. Maybe they have great special teams. They have a good offensive line that can run the ball, and they have a great defensive front. That front seven.
And probably the best middle linebacker in the game right now with Fred Warner.
So you got all these pieces, and for all the Garoppolo haters out there, fine, so be it.
Yeah.
But they win everywhere else, and they're efficient at that spot.
I agree. I think it's time that people just get off the, they're a good matchup for this team. No, they're just really, really good at football.
Yeah.
They're one of the four left. They are one of the four best teams in the NFL, and I'll take that to the bank.
So let's get into this week's matchup. LA, Los Angeles Rams. Well, they were St. Louis, but they were LA before that. But now they're back to LA.
We're back in LA.
And San Francisco, they haven't been in San Francisco for a while now, but for sure we'll call them San Francisco 2. just kind of the state of affairs, I guess.
Yeah.
But what do we got here? I mean, this is, let's see here, a 3.5-point line.
Yeah.
Favoring the Rams. Money line's at minus 185 on LA, the over-under at 46.5. Jabron, what do you got for me?
Okay, so what I'm thinking is, I don't believe in my actual heart that this is a Rams home game.
Okay.
The state of California is split into two teams in my mind, and neither one of them is the Rams or the Chargers. It's the San Francisco 49ers and the Las Vegas Raiders have the most fans in California, and one doesn't even play in California anymore.
Or Oakland or L.A.
Or back Oakland in or Oakland. L.A. Yeah, but no, I do think that the I think the 49ers are going to flood this stadium. It's going to be a huge atmosphere for the 49ers, and I just think that it's going to be a little bit too much for the Rams to handle, and I'm taking the Ram, the 49ers plus 3.5 for sure.
You're jumping at plus 3.5.
I'm taking the plus 3.5 for sure. Might hit the money line just because I think they're going to win.
Now, the money line, and I'm off of going off of Yahoo Sportsbook, powered by BetMGM, that app.
Yep.
And that's at plus 155. So real quick, for listeners out there that might not do too much online betting or go to Vegas that often.
Yeah, yeah.
What does that mean? What is a money line at plus 155?
Okay. So what we're doing here is the bets right here. The plus 3.5 for San Francisco was what? Plus what did you say?
3.5.
Plus 3.5. And what's going on is that we're saying that the 49ers can lose, but they can only lose by 3 points, pretty much. And if we take the money line, we're taking the 49ers to win outright. So you're gonna win a lot. You're gonna win more money if you take them to win outright. If they do win outright, but what people do is they kind of hedge their bet there and say, I think the 49ers can keep it close, but I don't think they're gonna win the game.
So don't take the money line.
I'm going to take the money line because I think they're going to win.
So when it says,
but it's a safer bet to take the 3.5 points.
So, well, yeah, because then you
get a little wiggle room.
You get 3.5 points to work with.
Yep,
there.
You get a little wiggle room.
But the money line being 155, is that saying you bet $100 to win 155? What's going on there?
So the easiest way I can explain this is the plus 155. If just the random guy would walk into a sports book and put $5 down on the 155, they would walk out of there if the 49ers win with $7.75. That's just what it is.
So you're just kind of, you're putting your money down just to win a little bit more back sometimes.
Yeah, with the plus three for the 49ers, if you put the $5 down on that bet, you're going to walk out with $5.
Right. You're betting five to win five.
Betting five to win. Risking five to win five.
Mm-hmm.
It's just on the money line, when it goes the opposite way for you, you can win just a little bit more money. But that's the opposite with the Los Angeles Rams with the minus 175. If you put $5 down on that, you're only going to win $2 to $3.
Well, hold on. You're at minus 175. What book are you looking at there?
I'm looking at ESPN. Sorry. We're mixing.
So, and I think that's powered by Caesars.
Yeah.
So Caesars book has it at minus 175. MGM right now, they're at Rams at minus 185.
Yeah.
Either way, that's where I'm going.
Yeah.
I'm betting the money line on the Rams. It is a home team. The Rams were at one point, as we alluded to, they were in L.A. Then they went to St. Louis and then back to L.A. with this beautiful new stadium. I think L.A., they're a little Laker fatigue right now.
Yeah, for
sure. So I think, we have a team that could be playing in the Super Bowl here in a couple of weeks. Let's go watch them.
Watch them for a little bit.
Yeah, this will be fun. Oh, wow, we got a good quarterback out of Detroit or something. He can sling the rock.
We saw that, the other night. He played a lot better than I thought he would in that game, and he kind of shut me up a little bit. So
such a Stafford hater.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't like him in Georgia. You don't like him now.
I just don't like the Detroit Lions is where we're going toward. But, like we were saying, I think, your money's on the Rams with the minus 3.5.
I like that line. I think that's right where it needs to be. And they can win by – I'm just – all you're saying there is win by more than a field goal.
Yes.
So that 4 points, so that's covered. You see so many games decided by 4 points, 24-20.
Yeah.
You know, so I just feel like that's a great spot. So if you're a better and you actually want to make the correct bet, jump on the Rams right now at that 3.5.
Oh, no way. I want to ask you a question here, Andy. What did all four games this weekend have in common?
They were excellent matchups, a lot of action, a lot of scoring.
They were
scoring
all
late.
Decided on the last play of the game. Three of them field goals. Three of them field goals to put them up by under 3 points.
I get that. I get it, that it's going to be close.
It's going to be close.
I'm just holding on to hope that, okay, they can win by four. Give me that late score. What do you think of the over-under here? 46.5. Now, a lot of folks would think that kind of looks low because these are two high-powered offenses, especially when Debo Samuel and company gets things going. Mitchell back in it, you know, like Eli Mitchell, the running back for the 49ers.
Elijah, yep.
Elijah.
Yes, sir.
Excuse me.
No, you're good.
And then how about Akers?
Yeah.
Running
Cam
back
Akers
for the
is back. I mean, he had a little bit of a tough game, you know, coughing the ball up three times, but they'll calm him down. Really, he is still a rookie. You know, he got hurt his rookie season. Now he's back and all that kind of stuff. I think he will bounce back with a pretty good game. I do not like this over-under. I don't like it either way because
– Oh, you think they just nailed it. They nailed it.
I think it's right on the line. And the only bet that I would take is the under because I think the 49ers will show up and cut the head off the monster a little bit.
I think so. I mean – So Matthew Stafford, season average in 287 yards per game, 41 touchdowns, 7-17 picks, so he kind of cleaned that up.
Yes, sir.
And I've seen nothing, even great defenses like Tampa Bay's.
Yeah.
He still puts up numbers. They put up points. And the 49ers, I don't know how they do it, block field goals and punts, I guess, but they score when they have to.
Yeah.
Conversely, on the other side of that, Jimmy Garoppolo, year average 250 per game.
Yeah.
20 touchdowns, 12 picks. So, I mean, he's not even in the same
stratosphere. He's not in the same realm, but they don't ask him to be in the same realm.
Well, I don't think he could be.
The Rams go as far as Matthew Stafford's going to take them and as far as Cooper Kupp and Odell takes them. That's their bread and butter. On the opposite side of that, the 49ers' bread and butter is taking the air out of the ball with the run game with all those running backs that you were just talking about with Elijah Mitchell and Debo Samuel.
Yeah, and Debo. Yeah.
And, you know, and their biggest pass-catching target is Debo with a little mixture of George Kittle on there, just getting first downs and keeping the clock moving.
That offense is so scary at times.
So scary.
Debo Samuel was, once again, my fantasy. Everyone loves it when you talk about your fantasy team.
Yeah.
Great radio.
I had all the good players.
But he was a guy that I just could not keep out of my starting lineup. I just had to figure out, get him on a flex or whatever. But he was so consistent, you know, averaging over 18 yards per reception, six touchdowns receiving. And there were some games where he would have over 100 yards rushing per game.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't uncommon with this guy.
No doubt about it.
And I just love how Shanahan figures it out to get his playmakers the ball.
Yes.
Like Debo Samuel, Eli Mitchell, you know, and they don't ask Garoppolo to do
too much. Yep.
So, I mean, when you're saying things like that, I feel like you'd be shading towards the under.
I'm saying the under is the only play that I would do here just because I think San Francisco's game plan is going to be keep the ball out of Stafford's hand and run the football and run the clock. And if we need to pass it on third down at 3rd and 4 or 3rd and 5, it's Kittle right in the middle of the field to keep the clock moving. And they're good on special teams, so they're not going to give up points there. And I just think it's going to be one of these 21-17 kind of games.
You know, I would buy that. I really would if it was like in Green Bay like last week.
Yeah.
Where weather obviously played a factor. It was cold. Some guys, how many drops?
That ball's hard. I mean, that ball's hard.
I felt bad for Garoppolo. Like, he's already catching enough.
Yeah.
You flack. Know, stiff from guys.
You're not as good as Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Well, no. Yeah.
I think he had like 3 or 4 passes dropped in that second quarter in a row.
Yeah.
I have to go back and look at that, but it was something like that. Now, turn that around. We're going to L.A. It's going to be beautiful, and they are They are jacked.
The stars are aligned for it, is what you're saying.
Yes, and I think Cooper Kupp's going to have a monster game. I have no reason to think he wouldn't.
Right.
Odell Beckham Jr. is getting more and more comfortable with that offense, and they're figuring
out. Scores touchdowns.
Yeah, and creative ways to give him the ball.
Yeah.
You know, they're not afraid to use him on that end around like you'd see Debo Samuel just to get him involved early.
Yes, sir.
So I just think L.A. is going to light up the scoreboard. San Francisco, they're going to have to match. They're going to have to match that offensive power. Garoppolo is going to have to put the ball in the air, and it's going to equal more than 46.5 points. Like, L.A. might score 46 points by themselves.
This is still playoff football we're talking about, and we're not talking about the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills either. We're talking about NFC ground-and-pound football. I'm still on the under here, and I will probably go on the under with Stafford with passing yards. They got him at 275 right now. I'm going under that. I think the San Francisco 49ers come out and put a statement in, and we're going to see a rematch in the Super Bowl.
All right, that's bold. I like it. Well, we're going to put a pin in it for now, take a little break. When we come back, we're talking about the other side, AFC monster matchup, Kansas City Chiefs, Kansas City.
And Arrowhead.
And then I think Cincinnati, you know, they got a quarterback, I guess. They got a gunslinger here.
A guy that should have went to Nebraska, is that who we're talking about?
I mean, he wanted to go to Nebraska, but yeah.
It wasn't good enough. Loser.
Oh, my God. Please, get me up by that, but... Anyway, folks, don't go anywhere. WTL, be right back.
Nebraska Public Media Sports brings you live all-day coverage of the NSAA High School Football Championships on Monday, November 24th and Tuesday, November 25th. Watch all day, both days, on Nebraska Public Media or live stream every game on Nebraska Public Media's YouTube channel.